The Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Specials Podcast for another week of X Factor and Strictly Come Dancing chats. Plenty more on the console as well. We've got Mercury Music Prize. There's that Simpsons bet, which everyone seems to like. Weather specials, showbiz celebrity specials, the Royal Society Winton Prize for Science Books. Rob has been busy this week. Reality Rob Dixon is with me, Lee Phelps, and Andy Holding. You both well?
Very good, yeah.
Excellent. Looking forward to the weekend?
Very good, yes.
What are you laughing at, Rob?
Just happy to be here. It's been a long time since I've been in the studio. That's all
right. Right. Yeah, it has been a long time, actually. You've been on the phone and you've been in New York. You've been all over the places. It's nice to have everyone in the studio.
It's cosy, isn't it?
It's nice. Let's do Strictly first, shall we? Now we've seen everyone dancing for a week or two, we can start to make some decent assumptions on what's going to happen. We've got the outright betting, which has changed quite a lot from last week. Natalie Gumede is still the favourite, but she's joined by Sophie Ellis-Bexter at 2-1 after a brilliant week, as predicted by Andy Holding last week. Ashley Taylor-Dawson had a good week as well. He's now 4-1. And the only man in the top five in the betting. The other two making up that five are Abby Clancy at 8-1 and Susanna Reid at 8-1. Then a big jump up to Rachel Riley at 25s. And another big jump up to Ben Cohen at 50s with Patrick Robinson the same price. Mark Benton, 66-1. And then five no-hopers at 100-1. Dave Myers, Deborah Meaden, Fiona Fullerton, Julian McDonald and Vanessa Feltz. That fair, Andy, do you think those top five in the market?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's working itself out now, isn't it? The cream's rising to the top, as predicted last week. Sophie Wood make a dramatic burst onto the leaderboard with her show-stopping dance. It's probably one of the best jives ever on there, to be honest. Really? I don't think she can get any better, really, from what she did last week. 36 in week two, absolutely incredible. Fully deserved as well. I don't think Natalie Gumede did that much wrong. Very solid in her waltz. Any other week, she would have won a top score poll, if you like. I think she got 35, maybe 34, but that wasn't good enough.
Consistency for her, though, isn't it?
It's going to
be consistent all the way through.
She's always going to be getting high, mid to high 30s from now on. She's going to get better. Some other dances are going to suit her better than the one she's doing at the moment. So she's going to be the one for everyone to beat. I still think she's a worthy favourite. Because Sophie, to be fair, like I say, she did a good week, but that's a slight overreaction. She was 6-1 before she went into last week. She's now 2-1. Is she going to be as good every week? She hasn't done a Latin dance yet, don't forget. That Charleston suited her perfectly last week. And like I said, I don't think she could probably get any better than that. So we'll see how she does in the next few weeks. The big surprise is Ashley Taylor-Dawson. Her first week, I thought, looked a little bit stilted, a bit stiff.
Baby Blues, you put it down to, you might be right.
Well, possibly, yeah. But he seems to be the ballroom king, doesn't he? Just on the evidence of what we saw last week. He looks very much like Tom Chambers, who was very good in ballroom several years ago. Probably not so good in the Latin. And I think that'll be the case again this week. And I think he'll showcase himself next week when he gets another dancing hold. Abby Clancy wasn't quite so good as she was the week before, but still didn't exactly propel herself out of the show. And again, Susanna was very much the same. She was as good as the first week, but not much better. And I think around about 8-1 is about right at the moment, although I still think there's a bit of mileage in her price because she's got a good dance this weekend. So I'd expect things to change around quite considerably again after what we've seen this coming weekend.
Rob, you've obviously seen some money from Sophie Ellis-Bexter. I can't help but think that's a massive overreaction to one good dance.
Yeah, definitely. If you think that she's going to be getting sort of 36s, 37s every week from now on in, then you might be sadly mistaken. A perfect dance for me. It's one of those where if it'd been later in the show, you'd have certainly seen the tens come out. And obviously, I think she's picked when it gets to the final, which I probably expect her to be in. Then I think that's certainly going to be the dance that she'll be. She uses her favourite dance of the series. I think now that the value is probably on Natalie now at 2-1. Andy mentioned last week that we think that she was going to hover around the sort of 6-4 mark most of the series. The fact that she's gone out, because Sophie's gone in, then Natalie's come out quite a bit, and sort of 2-1, or I think there's some 9-4, 5-2 out there, then probably Natalie at the moment, if you want to get on Natalie, then probably now's your chance, especially with a strong dance coming up this week.
You can't see her getting an awful lot bigger than that, can we?
Couldn't really, no. I mean, every dance, all it takes is one mistake for her to be marked down. I think she's. Yeah. I think they've put their eggs in their basket. They want a female winner this year. I think even
we're
if
probably going to get it by, yeah, by
even,
the looks of that,
even if she, even if she did a poor dance, I think from what she's done in the first 2 weeks, they're prepared to sort of not forgive and forget. She might lose the odd mark here and there, but I think I can expect her in the sort of low to mid 30s again this week.
Just before we move on to this week's markets, there's elimination and high score. 2-9 Ashley Taylor Dawson to be top male. I mean, we've said this all along, and it's a weak heat, isn't it? Is there anyone who could knock him off that?
No. If you've got a spare 900 quid floating around,
and Rob will let you have it on.
And you're prepared to wait.
I'll let you have it on if you've got the 900 quid.
If you, will you? Will you?
Yeah. Okay. If you've got 3 weeks, 3 months to wait, and you're quite happy to do that to get your 200 quid back, then that's probably the best 2-9.
Pays for Christmas, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He'll pay for some Christmas presents.
Fair enough. I just wanted to ask that question.
It should be, in theory, 10 on, shouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, we're told Ben Cohen's half deaf, aren't we? Can't hear very well. That's the other thing. Just as a quick aside, I mean, you said Tony Jacklin would go anyway, so it's nailed on. But I was doing the football podcast on Monday, and Ron Atkinson loves Strictly. He loves X Factor. He loves TV, basically. He loves sitting and watching his telly. And I said to him, what about, and he knows Tony Jacklin. He'd already mentioned that he's done a few golfing days. I said, what about Tony Jacklin going? And he went, well, that's no surprise, is it? He's Mutt and Jeff. Apparently Ron says he's absolutely stone deaf, can't hear a thing. Amazing. Great knowledge to know that beforehand, Ron. Thanks for that, Ron. Yeah. Yeah, a 4-5 shot made it seem like,
What are we paying for these days?
I should have asked him. It's remiss of me not to ask him that. This weekend, then. Go on.
It's like finding a horse result afterwards, and then the trainer coming home and saying, oh, yeah, he's had his wind up done. thanks for telling us after he's just won by 20 lengths.
So this weekend, the second elimination in the week 3 high scorer markets, Rob's priced up. Let's have a look at the elimination first. Julian McDonald, who was a fantastic winner for Andy at 3-1 to be in the bottom two, that there or thereabouts, is 1-2 to be eliminated this weekend. I wonder if he'll get a sympathy bounce. Vanessa Feltz is next in the market at 9-2. Dave Myers is 7-1. Fiona Fullerton, 14s. Deborah Meaden, 16s. Ben Cohen, 20s. Patrick Robinson, 25s. Mark Benton, 28s. And then 50-1 and bigger for the rest of them. It's all about what they're dancing, Andy, isn't it, with this and with the high score market. I'll give those prices now because we may be able to cross over the two as we go through them. Natalie Gumaday is the favourite to be the highest scorer at 7-4. Abby Clancy, 5-2. Sophie Ellis-Bextor, 9-2. Some of you might think that's a bit of value. Susanna Reid, 5-1. Ashley Taylor-Dawson, 8-1. Rachel Riley then at 25s and 33s and bigger. The rest of them, who's got the hardest dance this week then, coupled with the inability, if you like?
Well, a lot of them have got quite hard dances for what we've seen so far. But there's no question, like Tony Jacklin last week in the Jive found, Julian McDonald's got the same scenario this week when he's doing that very upbeat, up-tempo, high-octane dance, which is the Jive. And
is that how they get rid of them? Like an X Factor, we always think the producers
it's looking
get
that way,
rid of them.
Isn't it? It's looking
give
way.
Them a drive. I can't do that.
This will finish them off, yeah. It's like your head's on the guillotine block, isn't
they
it?
They must know that as well, I always think. The dancers aren't, the celebrities aren't stupid. If they think, oh, God, I've got the jive. It's almost, they must immensely think, like, I'm gone.
It's like the old X Factor red background. As soon as on a Thursday night you look and you see this red background behind, then you might as well not bother singing.
Yeah,
but,
if you get a glowing endorsement off Louis, you might as well just kiss yourself goodbye. I mean, Julian's going to go this week, isn't
1-2.
He?
1-2.
I wouldn't say, he obviously wasn't lucky to go last week because he was up against the worst dancer, but I had a feeling, gut feeling, he wasn't that well liked by the public. Not because he's a nasty character or anything like that, but people got warm to him as well as some of the other strong characters in the show.
Looked like a waxwork as well, I thought.
I just don't know where the votes are going to come from him. So it's not necessarily how he dances or how good he is. The fact that he isn't very good anyway is a bonus if you think he's going to go this week, and I think he will. He's going to get a very low mark because he's very uncoordinated. He's not very light on his feet, as the looks of it. He's finding it difficult to pick up the moves. The flicks and kicks are going to be a major problem for him this week up against his professional dancer who's going to lean beyond. It's all about the timing, isn't it, the jive? We saw last week Sophie in the Charleston. It's about keeping up. It's about looking good. It's the mirror image with your dancing partner, which is the key.
Yeah.
And he's just going to be lapped. He's basically going to get lapped by his partner, isn't he? So I can't see him getting other than 17 or 18. So he's going to be the bottom dancer. And then he's asking for the voting public to save him. But he's up against major, major popular people who've got huge personalities like Vanessa, Dave and Deborah and Ben and all these people that are going to be in that bottom core. So I can only see one result. I think 1-2 is about the right price.
Mm. Who do you think will be in the? Who do you think will join him down there?
It's a difficult one, really, because I always like
some
to look
decent prices around.
Yeah,
isn't
I like to look for a bit of value and try and come up with some different options and different angles and approaching it. I'm looking to suspect a weakness in Ben Cohen one of these weeks, but he's got a very good dance for him this week. I know it's not a show-stopping dance, and the boys often do very modestly in the rumba, but I actually think with him and Christina, that could actually come across as quite an affectionate dance. I think he'll be okay. I think Vanessa's really going to struggle this week in the tango. She's just really struggling to keep up with the speed of the dance. Obviously, James is very, very much a hard taskmaster, and he's trying to get her to... He's pushing her to try and, you know, do this dance to the best of her ability, but I think her energy levels are really dipping, and towards the end of that tango, she's going to almost be carried around like a rag doll. And I think she's also going to be in the bottom two with June. I think she was very, very close to going last week. And even though she's quite a popular character, I think there are other stronger personalities in the show.
If you've priced that right, then, according to Andy, Rob, Julian and Vanessa in the bottom two, if they're in the bottom two, how do you price it up? If you had to, you know, not that you can, we don't have any live prices like
if
that.
If it was a dance-off,
yeah.
Yeah, he goes, doesn't he?
He'd be shorter than that, though, probably, wouldn't he?
Probably about 2-7, 5-2 in a dance-off.
Yeah.
It won't be as bad as Tony's...
No,
it
won't be as bad. I mean,
Charleston,
I was watching the It Takes a Two and been reading some sort of training reports and watching. I mean, there are a few that are struggling this week. There's Fiona Fullerton's really struggling, and I suppose for a bottom two where you could make a case. Mark Benton, another one, started well first week, and it went backwards for me last week. Again, another difficult dance for him to do. He says he's going to carry on with a smile on his face, but this is as tough as it gets for him. So yeah. Maybe, I mean, bottom two, for me, those two, maybe a little bit of bottom two value. I think there's more chance of Vanessa getting, even though she wasn't in the bottom two, there's more chance of her getting a sort of bottom two type of bounce than Julian. For me, Julian's gone. I think he comes across...
Don't come across great.
He comes across as quite arrogant and stuff, and that's not what you need. That's not what you need for people who are sort of voting for you, especially if you found the first 2-3 weeks of struggle.
Mm. The flip side of it, then, who performs best this week? Like I said last week, you said Sophie Ellis-Bextor would, and she did, Andy. Who's got the most suitable dance? What's Abby Clancy dancing to?
She's doing the jive, which, to all intents and purposes, should suit her. She's obviously a very bubbly, effervescent character, isn't she? We saw her in the first week. She was pretty good. Doing the first dance in hold, and then she did the cha-cha to a reasonable standard, although she could have had straighter legs, and she was a little bit annoyed with herself, the fact that she came up a little bit short. She kind of lost her early rhythm and never really recovered from it, although I think she was probably a bit better than what she thought. I like that. I think she's quite a hard taskmaster on herself. She's quite hard on herself. She wants the perfection. She wants to do really well. I think that's going to carry her far in the show. But what you've got to ask yourself is, she's up against Natalie this week, who's a worthy favourite, who for me is going to score at least 35, maybe 36, doing the rumba, which should suit her down to the ground. I've seen the clips of her. She looked absolutely unbelievably good in the rumba this week. With obviously one of the, for me, one of the best technical pro dancers on the show. Always make sure his choreography is spot on. He likes to tell the story, doesn't he, Artem? And it's going to help Natalie as well, being a very much a character-based person who obviously acts through her another person on the TV show. She's in the Coronation Street, and you need that kind of person to do the rumba to sell the dance. It's a storytelling dance, isn't it? So she's going to get 35, 36. So what you've got to ask yourself...
Who gets four nines?
Who's going to match her or get better than her? Now, Abby Clancy's got to get, for me, 35, 36 to beat Natalie. And doing the jive, can you do that in week three, doing the jive where mistakes are magnified? I mean, I think she'll do it really well. The vibes are, and the feeling is that she's going to do it to a good standard. But I can't believe...
There's got to be an eight in there, hasn't there? There's got to be an eight or two in there at least.
Well, the thing is, when you're out of hold... Mistakes can be overplayed, can't they?
It's quite an early stage, isn't it, to do. We talked about how the jive seems to be the
kiss of death
of death at the moment. But you'd think the women, whether she gets 35, 36 for it is up for debate, isn't it? But I just think...
Yeah.
But, I mean, the way the portrayed on the telly was that this is going to be, for Abby, a really special...
I think it will.
A special dance.
I think it will
whether
be very good.
Whether it's enough, whether they need to... Are they still getting to the point where they need to keep Natalie sort of keep the competition
That's the
close,
thing, isn't
so
it?
To speak?
Do they dampen her down a little bit? I guess.
To be fair, I don't think this show is that manipulative.
No, I get you.
Their professional credit is on the line if they, I think they score it wrong.
Later on in the series, I think they do a little bit just to make sure that these people... I've seen people marked very high. Chelsea Healy, as a prime example, quite early on was marked very high because I think she was somebody that they wanted to keep in the competition.
And the accusation is that they marked Denise Van Outen down a bit at times. So there is that in it, isn't it? But it's a bit early to be manipulating.
Oh,
so
no, especially
what about Sophie Spexler then? 92, a lot of punters out there think, wow, she was brilliant last week and might get sucked in, I guess, on that. What's she dancing?
The problem is with Sophie this week, as we see week in, week out when we do these markets for the last few years, it's what they are doing the following week, which is the key. Never react to the last week, what's happened, and then expect for them to follow up. It's like a horse who wins by 10 lengths, but if you run it on soft ground, he's just won on firm ground, it's going to be a different result, isn't it? And it's the same with Sophie this week. She's doing the samba. Not a bad dance for her, but certainly not in anywhere she had performed going to be capable or enable her to get a 35-36. I think there'll be... Well, it's not going to be littered with errors, but it's not going to be a over 34 dance for me. Yeah. I actually think Susanna, if I was to price up a match bet this week, who will score highest, Susanna Reid and Sophie Ellis-Bextor, 9-2, 5-1 there. This is just a hypothetical bet in my own mind. I would actually have Susanna and Kevin doing the Viennese waltz, which is obviously a very graceful dance, in hold. She looks really good. I think that's going to be very polished. I think she'll get a good solid score this week. I'd actually have Susanna to score higher than Sophie Ellis-Bextor just in that particular matchup.
Yeah. I can't see. But still not good enough.
Still not good enough to beat Natalie, who's going to be, like I say, I think she's going to be unbelievably good in the rumba. I don't think at this stage we've seen a more naturally perfect dancer than her, who in every technical area has got everything covered. And you've really got to express yourself and use your body and extend the arms and everything and get that grace that the rumba needs. And she's got it down to a T. And the only other one is Ashley. And unfortunately, he's got the samba as well.
Yeah.
And
tough week, isn't it?
I don't like his arms. He's got very poor arm placement when he does the Latin dances. I said fantastic last week in hold when he had a great top line and he was very confident in what he was doing, but I'm not quite sure he's mastered the Latin yet. So 8-1 is probably a true reflection of his chance this week.
Very good. Any thoughts?
No, not really.
and that's the beauty of these kind of markets is that, you know, when it is technical, there's, you know, we're going to talk about X Factor in a moment, which is littered with production bias. You know, we know you can't even trust your money really unless you can see inside that.
Well, it's manipulated. Yeah, exactly. The public are manipulated in X Factor where they're not in. Strictly, they make their own. They're allowed to make their own mind up.
Yes, yeah, definitely. With maybe a little bit of a shove here and there. Andy's on William Hill's Racing Radio this afternoon. Have you got time for X Factor? Or do you want to go off?
Yeah,
and do some racing stuff?
First race until 1:50.
It comes. I mean, X Factor as ever comes with a bit of a wealth warning. First week, you want to kind of see what the producers have got in mind. You can go on websites galore, SofaBet and the like, who already have lots of people. Making those assumptions, Rob, as to who the producers favour, who they don't favour. There's no word as yet, and we're at Friday afternoon, that there's going to be a wild card, whereas all these experts are telling us, oh, there'll be a wild card. You know, Melanie McCabe won't get picked, but she'll get picked on the wild card. Well, so far, here we are, and unless they drop it on us on late Friday afternoon for maximum PR exposure.
Late now.
It does seem a bit late in the day.
I mean Louis Walsh came out in the press yesterday, and he was saying that he'd like... remember it was Paula Kister, I think it was. He'd like him to go again next year and to enter again, but for people like Melanie and Jade, your time's gone now. And the fact that he was talking at things like that makes me think there's probably not going to be a wild card. I'd be very, very surprised if there is going to be a wild card now, because I think maybe it was the Christopher Maloney thing last year, but it just built up too much momentum that this is maybe a year where let's strip it back a bit, let's just go with one mentor, three acts, and let's get rid of the gimmicks, because that's what the public... this is prime example of why Strictly is better, because Strictly doesn't do the gimmicks. Strictly does the show. The whole show is based on the 15-16 dancers who perform every week. It's not really about the four judges, in the same way that X Factor in recent years has got to be about the judges. It's very rarely got to be about the performance, mainly because the performers aren't really producing the massive millions amount of records which they should be, or what the whole idea of the show was based on 10, 12 years ago.
So 12 acts, as it stands right now as we record this. Tamira Foster is the clear favourite now, 9-4. Nicholas McDonald is 9-2, with Scotland behind him, you'd presume. Hannah Barrett is 5-1, big mates with Tamira Foster. There seems to be a bit of a thought online that there's a little bit of a story to emanate from those two. Abby Alton, the other girl, is 9-1, so the three girls in the top four in the betting. Rough Copy, the first group in the betting at 9-1. They've had quite a lot of airtime because of the fact that it was a three, then it was a two, and now it's back to being a three again. Gary worked his magic, didn't he? I'll do everything I can get him back in. You mean you'll ask the producers if it's all right?
I couldn't work that out. I don't know what Rob's going to say here. What was the matter with the two as they were?
I don't know.
Well, I couldn't understand.
If it's not bright, why fix it?
The only reason they became a two was because the bloke couldn't go overseas.
Because he had a criminal record and a visa problem.
Because of a criminal record, but they're filmed in London or somewhere. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that...
I know.
They're always going to become a three anyway.
Well, were they that better with him in?
I don't think they were much.
Were they better as a two? I thought they were brilliant as a two last week.
I thought they were actually better as a two, but...
Strange.
I found that really odd.
Sam Bailey, the first overs contestant right there at 10-1. Miss Dynamics, who are the girl group who were put together, and now one of them's pregnant, 14-1.
They might end up becoming a two as well.
It could do, or a four.
Or four, yeah.
Sam Callahan is 16-1. Sam Callahan is the Essex boy who looks like an X Factor contestant, if I'm being honest. Kingsland Road are the boy band, who are 20-1. Luke Friend is the boy who's got dreadlocks. He's 33-1. You might think I'm being shallow at describing them this way. Lorna Simpson is the one of the other overs at 40-1, and Shelley Smith is the girl who, without being harsh, looks a bit like the Peter Kay character. Remember the Peter Kay character?
Geraldine.
Looks a bit like that, doesn't she? That kind of character. I'm not saying she looks like a man. What I'm saying is she looks like that kind of big-voiced kind of character who is on the X Factor at 50-1. There's your bets. Tamira Foster is a bit short at 9-4, and Sam Bailey's a bit big at 10-1. I think that's my first impression on it.
The first thing we should say is that they surely need to check the birth certificate of that Tamira Foster.
She's never 16,
How
17.
How on earth is that girl 16? She looks, not only looks-wise, but mentally as well.
Yeah, I know.
The way she carries herself, she's got a persona way beyond her years. And obviously a voice to match as well.
It's the old Stanley Jean from the rugby league, being 26 for the last 15 years, isn't it?
Incredible. She does look a lot, and you're right. I mean, she does. She doesn't seem overly... I mean, you know, everyone's got their own opinion on these sort of things, but Hannah Barrett, for me, I mean, she's cried a river already, hasn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of tears that girl's produced already, I'm sure for justifiable reasons. But Tamira Foster's the exact opposite, isn't she? She's got no emotion about her much at all.
She's very much stony.
Yeah, measured.
Persona, isn't she?
And if she's gone through what she's gone through in her life already at the age of 14, I'm not saying she's been through terrible things, but she's obviously, you know, she's had a bit of a drug issue on Twitter and all that, and she's bullied people. She seems pretty sore. I'm not sure the public warmed to that.
Well, that's the only thing that stopped me backing her, really.
Yeah, because she's brilliant.
There's no denying that she's an unbelievable singer. She's got a ready-made pop star look. I mean, like I say, she looks fantastic. Whether she's actually the number one singer, voice for voice, in the show is obviously open to debate. But I think because of her age, the way she looks, a lot of people are going to find her a very attractive proposition. And she's a very commercial act as well at the moment. So I think on balance, she's the safe bet favourite at this very moment in time. A lot depends on where they put her in the show and how she gets in the first week, whether she's too in your face, whether she's a little bit too... Like I say, she goes down the Misha B route, or they strip her back and they give her a soft side to look about. I don't know how they're going to do it, but it's going to be fascinating. This first week really sets the tone for the whole week. I must admit, each week I'm beginning to have my new favourite, as Bruce would say. And I was really impressed with Hannah, you know.
Yeah. Her voice is incredible, isn't it?
I mean, I bigged up Sam Bailey the week before. We know, me and you really... a champion her cause.
And she listened and liked the fact, didn't she?
She listened to the podcast.
I'm almost starstruck.
We're up to five now.
And she looks great as well with the makeover as well. We'll add that into the mix.
Not that she didn't look good before, if you're listening, Sam.
No, but I mean, that's... Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to use the word beer goggles, but...
come on, Rob.
She isn't winning, so it doesn't matter. I've already upset her before.
How
first
can you say she
show.
Isn't winning?
Well, she isn't, is she? Because I don't think the British public go for...
Best voice?
That type of... Best voice. Voice means absolutely nothing on this show.
It's not called The Voice.
Unfortunately, yeah.
I think Rob's got a fair point.
She was probably in the wrong show. That's her problem. Yeah, is that she is in the wrong show.
If she's in Britain's Got Talent,
or The Voice.
Yeah.
Which started again this week.
Yeah, did it really?
Didn't get any tickets this time, unfortunately. But I think as you said,
I get you with Hannah Barrett. I just there's something that doesn't quite work for me.
Her range is incredible. When she goes on low into that bottom octave, it's absolutely incredible.
And with the band and everything behind her, she's really amazing.
And then the power side of it, and the way she expresses herself.
She's been the best back since the Judges' Houses, definitely.
She definitely had the best audition for me at Judges' Houses. Like I say, each week I'm finding someone else that I like more than last week.
Yeah.
Sam Bailey the week before was my favourite. I still really rate Sam Bailey. I think she'll go pretty far. She'll go quite deep into the competition. She'll definitely be the last overs.
Yeah.
I presume she's a million on to win that. You could put that in a double with Ashley Taylor Dawson to be top
3-10
nail. Well, there you go.
That is absolutely nailed on, isn't it?
You got 130 on Sam Bailey and 2-9. That'll boost the 2-9 up. There you go. There's a few more Christmas presents for you. And that's a nice little double.
Come on, lads. We're on a podcast. We can't stick out a 3-10 and a 2-9 shot.
The thing I'm intrigued about here is whether you can have that double. Yeah, you can have that double.
Oh, fantastic.
4-7.
There you go. 4-7.
So ask Rob if you can have a grand on. Would you let everyone have a grand on that double?
Well, you have to log in first, won't you?
Advised a 900 to win to Ashley Taylor Dawson. Now you can have a 700 to win four. You can win another couple hundred quid.
You don't even have to put as much on.
Yeah. And no risk.
Yeah.
The only risk is
waiting when you put it in at the Circle of Doom and see if Rob lets you have it. That's the only risk you've got.
Transfer to trader.
Put it in.
Come on.
Trader's down here.
Yeah.
How dare you to put it through?
Yeah, that is a stonking bet, isn't it, for us to win top overs. There's a lot in here. Rather than looking at the outrights, you've backed Tamira Foster at a nice price. You're in a lovely position at the minute, Rob.
Yeah, I think I genuinely think there's only four for me that can win.
Right, okay. Tamira, Nicholas.
Nicholas, but I only think that Nicholas is going to win because he's from Scotland.
Yeah, and he's a bit young, isn't he? That's the
only
problem.
Thing on his side, A, the fact is
he's got a good voice as well.
A, the fact is that the boys' category is really weak, and to be quite honest, while we were putting Sam in the things, I think Nicholas is an absolute cert to be in for top boy. But
it's starting to turn into quite a good bet.
That bet's getting quite good. Yeah. I can put even a little bit less on now and win even more.
Yeah. But Hannah definitely, based on last week, I was 50-50 about Hannah before the judges' houses. I agree completely with what you and Andy were saying, that she stood out brilliantly. Abby I can pass over. The Lucy Spraggan thing last year has put me off back in Abby again. I think Abby has got a bit more range than Lucy, but again, it doesn't seem to generate into votes. Lucy was struggling before she left the show as well. I think Rough Copy out of the three out of the three groups, I think Rough Copy is the only one I think now who could go out and sell records. I think the other two, Miss Dynamics, being put together. I know there's the Little Mix thing, but I think Little Mix was a freak year.
They were really hammered, weren't they, by the producers? Yeah. They were given every possible. I mean, when I think of Little Mix, and you're right, they were. I think it was a bit of a freak year. In my mind, I think of Little Mix, and I remember Talisa almost begging the viewing public on successive weeks to vote for them. And that's not the way this should be done.
I'm not sure
this is the way this will be done this year.
When I was doing up a coupon, we sort of got back coupons from previous years, and Little Mix this time last 2 years ago, Little Mix 50-1 outsider, 2-1 fav to go first week,
which makes you look at Shelley Smith and think, wow,
that was the Talisa year stroke Talisa show, wasn't it? Talisa was the big female figure of that year, and
we haven't really got that
because
show,
the momentum that she carried with her number one.
The
act,
question is whether Sharon Osbourne can do the same with Sam Bailey. That's the only. The difference I make. So again, with the overs, Lorna, fav to go this week, deserve fav. We'll talk about that in a minute. Shelley Smith's the only one that you can see as being any sort of novelty act, and even then, it's not a Wagner, Ryland type of novelty act. I think she should be singing in a club or a cruise ship.
It's very cliched, her act, isn't it?
I think that's what it is, and I think maybe she'd get away with it because it was Sharon. If Louis had the overs and had picked Shelley, then they'd have been all over from the first week.
Just to go back to Rough Copy very briefly, I understand what you're saying about the 9-1. I don't think they need to win necessarily. I think there could be a natural JLS replacement.
You've seen JLS. I'm not sure they need to win it. Yeah. They're not doing too badly.
I don't think they will win it either. Just a quick word on Abby Alton. I mean, she's a lovely girl. She's got a lovely act. Is she just a bit too nice to get there? The British public haven't cottoned on to one of these kind of acts so far, whether it be... Having said that, they did in The Voice, in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
But she's not got as big a voice as the winner of The Voice.
I think it all depends. It all depends how she's mentored.
I've forgotten her name, by the way. That's why I just said the winner of The Voice.
Yeah.
Help me out, yeah.
Andrew.
You remember? Andrew Begley. She's not quite there, is she? And she hasn't got
depending how Nicole will sort of get her through this, I think.
She's not a Nicole favourite, is she?
She doesn't naturally really be that sort of
Tamira Foster's obviously the Nicole favourite.
Absolutely, yeah.
You could see the way Nicole played it last year with James and Jermaine. She kept everything pretty much straight down the line. Maybe she will with Abby, give her these sort of songs which give her that sort of quirkiness. I mean, definitely, she offers something different than what Tamira... The only thing I've got with Tamira and Hannah is maybe they will take the vote off each other, but that's something for sort of later on in the show, because they both of them will be, for me, guaranteed finals night.
I mean, there was, for me, an air of almost desperation with Abby last week, almost begging...
She doesn't quite look right, does she, either?
Nicole yeah. to put her through, and she almost thought, oh God, if I don't, I'll never forgive myself, kind of thing.
You've never seen that with her before.
No, her act is just a little bit too chintzy for me.
Yeah,
whereas you look at Tamira, it's an urban act, and I think Nicole very much
it's quite clear the
understands
X-factor.
That kind yeah. of yeah. artist.
And it's quite clear to me that whatever production kind of bias you get, it's quite clear that the show itself, with Simon Cowell somewhere hovering in the background, wants urban acts now. They sell.
Yeah. Oh, it's massive, isn't it? It's what you hear on the radio every morning. You go onto the Radio 1, that's the kind of flavour you get coming through all the way through to lunchtime with Fern Cotton and the guy, Nick Grimshaw does the early morning show. So, Abby Alton selling records at this...
She's nice, isn't she? She ticks a box. She ticks a box that's out there. People like that kind of act. But let's have a look at this week then. I mean, it's a tricky one because we don't know what the producers want. We don't know who's going to be stuck on first. We don't know who's going to be stuck on last. And that does assume some more importance this series, because if you've been living under a rock, you won't know that there's a brand new flash vote being introduced to spice up the results.
We've got an overlap as well, haven't we? We've got a 20-minute overlap.
Which could be quite helpful. The way this works is that at the end of the Saturday live show, the voting line's open for under 10 minutes, which is kind of similar to the Strictly idea that you only get half an hour to vote on Strictly, although you're not necessarily told that in such explicit terms. So under 10 minutes... you vote for your favourite act. When the lines close then, the votes are counted. And on that Saturday show, we're actually told who the first of the two bottom two acts will be. That's how it's going to work. Now, you know, if you're on first and you're on during that crossover, I mean, I know there's going to be updates during the show and they're going to be telling us, don't forget, you can vote at the end and the phone numbers will be put up. But still, it's a long time to wait, isn't it, in a live show like this. Then the lines are opened again and the second of the bottom two is voted on from then until Sunday.
That's right, isn't it?
I've got that right, haven't I?
Yeah, that's perfectly right. I bet there's a few insiders who will be making some money then.
Yeah, it's very much a running order.
Come Saturday night, doesn't it? Because it really changes the elimination.
Are you saying that insiders are leaking information out to the betting public, Rob? Is that what you're saying?
No, next factor. No, it never happened.
No, but, fine. As long as we clear that up from a William Hill employee.
What my main point is that it doesn't change as much, because I still think your people going on first are the most vulnerable. The flash vote, but you're only still going to remember the people that are on towards the end. It might not actually favour the person being on last. But I think your people that are on first, your people in that 20-minute cutover between watching the end of Strictly, especially if somebody like Natalie's on sort of last, that sort of thing, people would rather watch Strictly for those 20 minutes. Maybe catch up on X Factor on sort of Sky Plus. I think whoever's on, definitely in the first two, will be toast come Sunday night.
Producers and their mentors and the mentors of the contestants, they're not going to put their big guns out early, are they?
No.
They're going to save those till last. Hence the fact that I do think Luke Friend for me could be vulnerable this week.
I've got
a feeling he's going to be first of the boys. Mm-hmm. Whatever reason, the show's going to be in the first four acts going out.
Yeah.
I just think he's that beige. He's a bit of a wallflower for me. Other than his hair, which is obviously very memorable.
Reminds me a little bit of the lad who went quite early last year.
It was the year before, wasn't it, Rob?
Two years ago, and he was sort of...
He went
after about 3 or 4 weeks.
What was his name? God, I struggle so much with names of previous acts on this show.
Yeah,
there's so many of them. But yeah, you're right though. He is the guy.
Kai Soanes, is it him?
I was thinking of someone else, throwing that name in there. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, Gary Barlow's voice is concerned about this, and there is an interesting thing here. I mean, there's a couple of articles that have said it. What happens when? Surely the person who gets put in the bottom two on the Saturday night, it's just a bit of a knee jerk reaction. And we know that lots of people don't watch it on Saturday nights. Mm. It's the person who gets voted in on the Sunday night is the true one, yeah. In my opinion.
If he's in the bottom two, I presume you then can't vote for him on the Sunday.
No, he's already there, isn't he?
He's already there. So,
from a betting point of view, it's weird.
When it gets to deadlock, then he will always survive. Is that right?
Well, it can't go to deadlock. It's not fair to put it to deadlock, is it? Because surely the person on the Sunday night who's gone has got far more votes than the one on the Saturday.
Yeah.
Because in 10 minutes you can only vote over an infinite amount of times, can't you? Yeah. So the second one, they can't do that. And you know, it's been pointed out in a few articles, one that we've got up here from Metro now.
It's almost flawed, isn't it?
They can't do the deadlock thing, can they? They can't say, well, the one with the most votes goes, it's always going to be the Sunday night person.
I better take deadlock down, man, isn't
<Yeah. laughs> it's kind of a
flaw. I was just thinking something like that. Yeah, I didn't really think that far down.
I mean, yeah, you've put the market out. Will there be deadlock this week, yes or no? I mean, we don't know if it's even an option, do we?
But if they can't name their acts.
No, it's at 4-6 is a stonking bet. That'll be gone by the time this goes out. Just quickly then, first elimination. You've already said Luke Friend, 92 looks a bit. It looks a big price, doesn't it?
I think it'll be in the bottom two.
Yeah. Then there is a proviso in that we don't quite know how this is going to work. But yeah, if he's in the bottom two, he's got a good chance of going. What we're saying is we don't know how it's going to go in that. If they're going to be forced to...
Yeah. I've backed Lorna. I just can't really see
that.
I can't see... any way other than the first episode, she will be in the bottom two. She will be in the sing-off.
Shelley Smith is the one at 72 of the overs.
I think Shelley.
Her personality will get her through.
I can understand Luke Friend. There's obviously, I was hearing the case earlier in the week for Miss Dynamics because she's pregnant and one of the singers of Two Shoes got pregnant.
Put a lot of effort into them, haven't they?
They just went out first week, but I can see Miss Dynamics at least staying sort of 3-4 weeks. Mm. It's not a... You could always have a sugar babe situation where they go as a two or bring somebody in. They've got the band name. They can quite happily bring somebody else in.
Yeah.
Sam, for
There's
me...
There's no reason why she's only just pregnant, I'm presuming.
No, she's quite long. 20,
How far?
22 weeks.
Is she?
Yeah, she's five and a half months. God. But, I mean, Sam's the other one for me. I just don't... That boys category is typical Louis. Isn't it?
Sam is my pick, but the problem with Sam is that he's got a big Essex backing behind him.
It's typical Louis. He's been given, for the first time in years, he's been given one of the top things. He's been given
what's actually been
the best category over the years of X Factor, and he's filled it with a 33-1 shot and a 40-1 shot, which just shows why he shouldn't be on the show. Full stop. But. That's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I can't. I want to put a boy in there, and Andy's picked the right one for me at 92. Yep. I can't. That seems to be the bet. Notwithstanding that, you know, the overs tend to get less support as they go along. Should we draw a line under it there? We've been chatting away for ages.
It's at 150 at.
Andy, go on, mate.
Getting closer.
Because he's gonna rattle on for another 5 minutes. Yeah, Rob, okay. I can tell. Well, thank you, Andy.
No, it's been
really
good.
Interesting.
Been good.
Yeah, no, really interesting good. To see how Strictly turns out, and especially interesting how X Factor is pitched this year.
Yeah, just before I go, I'd just like to say congratulations to Rob as well for the only odds compiler with the gumption to actually price up Strictly Come Dancing properly this week with a high score.
Well, now I've done it this week, I'm sure.
Well,
you have to do it every week now, though.
If there's any other bookmakers out there, for
they do listen. Let me assure you, they do listen.
Hopefully, they'll grow some gonads and price it up next week.
Yeah, here, Andy.
Let's have some competition. That's what
Fighting
it's all about.
Talk.
I might not do it next week if Natalie wins.
Anyway, Natalie will be top scorer this week. That's my bet this weekend.
Cheers, Andy.
Okay, guys.
Thanks very much, mate. Any other markets from the vast array of markets that you've put out this week that you want to talk about?
No, I was making a case with a couple of match bets, really. I do like the Sam Callaghan, the Miss Dynamics to beat Sam Callaghan.
Right.
I just do not see how he survives sort of three or four weeks. Rough copy at 5-6. We have actually seen decent money for that. We were actually 2-1 at one point, Abbey.
Yeah, interesting.
And that's come back the other way. So I think rough copy seemed to be
I gotta say, I mean, I understand your, I understand everyone's view on Hannah Barrett, but I'd be taking Sam Bailey to beat Hannah Barrett.
Sam Bailey, it just depends.
Just because she's top overs.
It depends where this Tamira Hannah.
I don't think they're gonna. The reason that I say that, by the way,
we said that
is
before,
that I think Tamira has got more legs than Hannah Barrett. Not in literally. I mean, she's going to go further in the show. I can't see them. What's her face?
Louis was stopped for what's 4 weeks without an act.
What's her face? The woman who's in charge of the overs.
Oh, Sharon.
Yeah, I can't see them saying to Sharon, you haven't got an act, and letting Nicole have two acts over her for that length of time.
But I think your one act will be quite a big price. That's the thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
If you end up with a final three of Tamira, Hannah and Sam, what price is Sam? It's probably not much different than what price she is now.
I like Sam Bailey. I do like her. Despite, you know, the reason I like her is there's been a bit of a drag. She started following me on Twitter. We kind of alluded to it earlier, so I'm a bit biased. Sam Bailey. So I'm a bit biased.
She's just like a drunken 40-year-old something, isn't she?
This is rude.
She's not. She's very nice.
This is
Sam.
Rude. Sam's sat in the X Factor house listening to this right now. You can't slack people off like that.
Well, you better get it put it's on the site. Right. We've told people 2 o'clock, and it's now 1:25.
Oh my! You told people 2 o'clock. But elsewhere on the there are lots of other things. I'm intrigued by this. We can't bet on the William Hill Sportsbook of the Year, but you've put out the Royal Society Winton Prize for Science Books betting. Yeah. I'm guessing you didn't put this market out.
No, my dad's a scientist, so he should know a lot.
Is
about
it really?
This. Yeah,
have you asked him?
He's head of one quite popular university in the country.
Leeds? Oxford?
No.
Cambridge?
No. Not one of those two.
Okay. Durham?
Nearer your neck of woods.
My neck of woods? Yeah. Hull?
Lincoln. It's close.
Lincoln?
Enough.
Is he Lincoln? Right. What, science?
Hull? Yeah.
Head of science at Lincoln University?
Head of science at Lincoln University.
Have you asked him about this market?
Yes.
What did he say?
He says bird scent should be fab at about 3-1.
The market sees bird sense at fab at 3-1.
You always listen to your dad.
The particle in the universe at 7-2. Ocean Life, I don't even know what these are, 4-1. Then you got 5-1.
Is it a clue in the title?
You got 5-1 co-outsider of 3. Cells to Civilization, Pierce of Light, and the Book
why
of
you, Why
Mention
are we even
beings.
Talking about it? Why did we never talk about
I'm
the Simpsons?
I'm going to look into this.
Because we had a genuine winner in the Simpsons market.
We've had a winner?
Well, no, we've been told there's only 4 that can win it.
Why?
Because the person that's leaving is an Emmy Award winner for his role. So it can only be Sideshow Bob, Edna, Apu, and Barney Grumple.
Right.
Those 4 were the only ones of Emmy
Award
winning.
Where did this information about the Emmy
from
Award
the bloke when he said, the bloke who, the creator,
said
it is an award. It is an Emmy Award winning.
Being that as fact and truth, you think that's fact?
That's true. That's 100%
fact. So why have
you
got Abe Simpson at 4-1 then?
Because he might lie.
What's it? This is what I don't get about you when you traders. You say facts and then you
well,
the market's
what
different.
What price can I go out of 33? And if everyone else is 4-1, I can't go out of 33.
You can if that's fact.
Well, it's fact, but everyone else knows about it.
So stand up with the power pack. Stand up with
the I think you're fine today. I already have.
Okay.
You
fine.
Have a go at other compilers. I'm a good
I'm
one.
Not having a go at you.
I'm the best one there is. I don't want to have a go
at you. I'm not having a go at you, Rob.
When it comes to like industry awards for reality TV, mate,
I'm there
with
that's great.
Awards. I won't even be able to drive home because my boot will be full of awards.
I just don't understand the principle of it when you say that's fact and then...
Come up to Trading League.
Why give us Apu at 12-1 then?
Well, Apu.
Can you say his last name for me as well?
Apu's the main character.
Please. Can you please pronounce his last name for me?
Yeah, I can.
Nahasapimapetion.
Petion, yes.
Okay, and so elsewhere there's the Royal Specials, which are still there. By the way, when are these godparents going to be announced?
23rd, isn't it?
No, that's christening. Do you think they won't be announced before that?
Surely they're going to be there, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, they'll announce it beforehand.
Twenty-third is
the date of the christening for Prince George, and there's some money riding on that from different people within this business. Mainly my fault as well.
There's some yes and no's out there for that now.
What we got?
I can't remember.
Royal Specials.
They're
not on the Royal
Specials
now
because I got bored of not taking a bet on them.
You're only interested in strictly in Nick's expert tonight.
I'm interested in that.
The profession of Sherlock Holmes' next boyfriend.
Yep.
Will he be a singer, a musician, if you think so? 2-1. A Premier League footballer? 4-1. A non-league Premier League professional footballer? No, sorry. A non-Premier League professional footballer. 6-1. 6-1
CD for Actor.
7-1 Dancer. 8-1 for Sportsman. 10-1 for a Doctor. 14-1 member of the Armed Forces. A politician at 50-1. A little bit OPIC, you thinking there. A member of the Royal Family, 200-1. Must be confirmed by either Cheryl Cole or a member of the publicity team. Why do you like it? What are you thinking?
I haven't got a bet in it. I just think
you just enjoy the market.
Yeah,
I like the market.
Did that myself.
Yeah, well done. Thanks, Rob. We better stop.
Just edit Andy's bit out.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Thanks for your time. If you're having a bet on any of the reality TV specials markets this weekend, then very best of luck. And if you're a trader working for another company, get that High Points market price.
Score is the word you're looking for.
Andy's annoyed.
He is very annoyed today, isn't he?
Bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.